Today, we have two very special guests on our program, introducing Lem and Lime.
Hello.
For Starry Lemon Lime Soda.
Thanks for having us.
What is Starry Lemon Lime Soda?
It's a crisp, clear burst of lemon lime flavor, and it's caffeine-free.
Between us, one of you must be a little more important to Starry than the other. Who is it?
We're both important.
So we could just as easily be Starry Lime Lemon Soda.
No, that doesn't sound right.
Oh, I like it.
So you saying hip-hop could be hop-hip?
Works for me.
Starry Lemon Lime Soda. Starry hits different.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Our Monday expert this week is Sarah Keogh, a dietitian and founder of Eat Well. Sarah, good morning and welcome.
Good morning.
Now, you want to talk to me about food intolerance and how it might be or not diagnosed.
Well, this is it. I mean, it's a huge issue around lots and lots of people that I would see when, as a dietitian, you know, and forever people are like, I can't eat this and I can't eat that and I have to cut this out and all the rest. And when you look at it, often they've gone and had sort of what I'd always say is the wrong tests done. So I work a lot with celiac disease, and to be diagnosed with celiac disease, you have to go to your doctor. Whereas what we would get in the Celiac Society is lots of people who've had these sort of finger prick tests, and they come back with sort of a list. They sort of get three columns, where there's the green, which is the foods you can have, the amber, which is kind of dodgy foods, and then the red ones, which you're meant to avoid. And people end up with huge lists of these foods, because the problem with these tests, they're called IgG food intolerance or food sensitivity tests, is they actually only tell you what you ate in the last few weeks. They have literally no link whatsoever with you being intolerant or tolerating any foods.
So if, for example, you felt years ago that you had an intolerance to some food and therefore you hadn't eaten it, if you had this blood test, it wouldn't show up.
Exactly.
Because you've already given it up.
So we did this at the Celiac Society with a colleague 2 years ago. Both of us got these tests. We sent off for them and we did a video on it. And what we did was, I have no food intolerances, but mine came back with, say, peanuts, because I eat peanut butter nearly every day, telling me red, oh, you can't have those. And my colleague, who is celiac and hasn't eaten gluten in 10 years, hers came back green for gluten, saying she could have it. Because she just hadn't eaten it in the last few weeks. So lots of people get caught on these tests. And in particular, we would often have celiac patients coming in going, oh, I'm not celiac anymore because I had this intolerance. Yeah. And you're trying to explain it doesn't detect or rule out intolerances. You have to start with your doctor for these things.
Okay, so what is a food intolerance? I mean, they do exist.
Oh, absolutely, and they really are. And I think sometimes there's so many people are like, oh, wow, where do they all come out of? But actually, they are there, they are real, and lots of people do have them. So a food...
The difference between an allergy and an intolerance,
Absolutely, because an allergy is where your immune system is involved. So where someone has maybe a peanut allergy and they're getting, we talk about the anaphylaxis, or you might get severe stomach pain or skin rashes or things like that. So with a food allergy, your immune system is involved. With food intolerance, not so much. So a food intolerance is often that you're missing an enzyme in your gut that helps digest something. So lactose intolerance affects up to 10% of people in Ireland. And they are people who, when they eat, drink milk, there's the natural milk sugar lactose. And normally we should break it down in the gut to glucose and galactose. But for some people, we miss the bit in the gut that does that. And the lactose gets into the large bowel, and your gut bacteria love lactose. So they have a party. They produce loads of gas and you get bloating and all kinds of symptoms with it. So what you would do to get checked for that is you see a registered dietitian and they will talk you through it. But 24% of people who are lactose intolerant are also celiac, because celiac disease causes temporary lactose intolerance. So other intolerances might be things like fructans, which you find in things like wheat, onions and garlic. And that causes a lot of constipation, really severe constipation in people. You might have people sensitive to things like sorbitol, a lovely great one called GOS or galacto-oligosaccharides, which are in things like beans and lentils. It's a good one. And that gives you a lot of bloating and discomfort as well.
So are those the symptoms of an intolerance, like bloating, gas, all that kind of thing?
Most of them will be gut related. So most food intolerances, you can have others. Definitely if you're histamine sensitive, you might get a little swelling in your lips when you eat something, different to anaphylaxis, but still get it checked out if you don't know what that is. But a lot of it is gut, and a lot of people looking for food intolerances are going with gut symptoms that they're having trouble managing with that.
You know when people say, I have a sensitive tummy?
Yes.
What does that actually mean?
Pretty much that. So what you might see is someone who is, for example, fructan sensitive, they might be able to eat one or two slices of brown bread and they will be fine. But if they ate a whole white bread sandwich, there's higher levels of fructan in that and they get huge bloating and constipation that doesn't resolve even with high fibre diets and things like that.
Now, when you said fructans are dose related.
Yes.
So if you had, for example, a brown bread with your soup.
Yes.
And then you went on to have dessert.
Yeah.
Might it put you over the edge with it?
So it could be, you know, some people can eat it every second day and it's fine, but if they eat it every day, it's, and it is a little bit individual with it.
So a little bit of what you fancy might do you good, but yeah, too much of what you fancy will do you harm.
Figuring out the dose side of it, which is the tricky part.
Now, some of the questions coming in, can you ask your guest if you can be wheat intolerant without being celiac? I feel very sluggish and have lots of tummy issues if I eat a lot of wheat, but I'm not celiac.
So yes, absolutely. But what I would say to you is most of the time, if someone is wheat sensitive in some way, they generally are celiac. But now sometimes they're not. So I'll just, what often happens is when you're being tested for celiac, you have to be eating gluten for at least 6 weeks. So often what happens is people think, well, I feel bad, I'll cut out the wheat. Oh, great, I feel better. Now I'll get the celiac test, but it is going to come back negative because you've already cut out the gluten. So I find when we do a lot of work where we re-challenge people with I'll often, about 90% of the time, if someone comes into me with wheat or gluten intolerance, they do turn out to be celiac. But you can very definitely be wheat sensitive without it. And being tired, brain fog, migraine, it's a real big cause of migraine, definitely can be in there as well. But I would definitely go back and maybe go in with a registered dietitian and just have a look at what's going on there.
What is the celiac test? How is it tested for?
So it's your GP. It's a blood test with your GP. And so as I said, you have to be eating gluten for at least 6 weeks. And if the blood test is high, then if you're an adult, your GP will send you for a biopsy. For children, if the blood test is high enough, we can usually just diagnose on that. But for adults, you go and you have the camera down and it's a painless biopsy and they will just check there and that's how you get diagnosed.
This one, milk makes me feel a bit sick. What's the best alternative in terms of nutrition and calories?
Well, what I would say is it's most likely to be lactose. That's the issue for a lot of people.
Is lactose in goat's milk as well?
Yes, it is. So any animal milk will have lactose. Human milk, sheep's milk, goat's milk will have it. You can get lactose-free milk now. Lots of the supermarkets do their own brand of lactose-free milk. I would start there. But if you do feel better on that, go and have a celiac test because it might be a sign of celiac disease.
Can your guest explain food maps? My doctor has suggested I go to a dietitian to help with my IBS.
So what they're talking about there is a thing called FODMAPS, F-O-D-M-A-P-S.
Oh, FODMAPS.
I know.
It was correct there and I just never heard of FODMAPS.
So it's a whole list of, these are the fructans, lactose and things like that. So there are a whole range of compounds in foods that in some people trigger the gut bacteria to really overreact. So most of us, when we eat these would be things like the fructans we mentioned in wheat, are actually very healthy for us. So for us, they do really nice things for our gut. But if you have irritable bowel syndrome, you can be, your gut bacteria can just either produce a lot of hydrogen, which means you'll get diarrhea, or they can produce a lot of methane, which is where you're going to get really bad constipation. Don't go it alone. A low FODMAP diet is actually very tricky to get right and okay, you really need to see a registered dietitian. Lots of people Google it or they get a little sheet. Less than half the time, it just doesn't work. But go and see a dietitian for that, definitely.
Can chocolate impact your bowel in a negative manner?
It can for some people because it's got sugar in it. And we talk about lactose intolerance, but you can actually have a sucrose intolerance. And sucrose is your white table sugar. And same thing, we need to break that down when we digest it. And if you lack the enzyme for that, you can get diarrhea from
it. And is it fructose because it's refined? I mean, if you have a banana which has sugar in it, surely because it's sweet.
So it just depends. What we find is that if you have a sucrose intolerance, it depends on what's in the food. So often in fruit, the sugar is just fructose, which is fine. But the sugar, if you have that sucrose, and it's not that I'm saying sugar is terrible or evil because it's just not, it's grand. But if you have a lot of sucrose, which would be coconut sugar, it would be table sugar, it'd be brown sugar, a lot of those. If you're just missing the enzyme to break that down, that can be an issue as well.
Another one. When I eat onions or garlic, I feel very uncomfortable and gassy. Is there an alternative I can use? And is it normal to be intolerant to these? Because I love both of them.
It's not uncommon. They would be one of what we call the FODMAP foods. So lots of people would find onions and garlic to be an issue. So two things you can do. One, garlic oil is fine. It's not the garlic flavour that's the issue. It's a different thing in the clove of garlic that's setting you off. So your garlic oil is a great alternative for that. And for onions, if you use the green part of scallions or you use chives, that will do. And there is a spice called, and I'm going to say it slowly, asafoetida, which tastes like onions. And you can add it into things to give the onion flavour then as well.
And what does cooking do to these components?
It doesn't really make a whole lot of difference with them. Now, a lot of people would find raw onion much worse than cooked onions. So again, because it's a fructan, it's a dose related thing. But if you're onion and garlic sensitive, they can make you feel really quite unwell.
Now, I was recently diagnosed with ulcerative colitis. Mm-hmm. Are there foods I should avoid or ones that cause a flare? I may also have IBS, so IBS and IBD.
So that's a more complicated one. And to be honest, there's no one set of foods for each one person with that. There's a little bit of evidence that maybe fish oils might help to reduce some of the inflammation. But I would actually recommend you see a registered dietitian who's got expertise in that area. And actually don't just kind of take random advice from all over the place. Get some expert to sit down with you and go through your specific sort of symptoms and have a look with that.
Now, what about things that we expect to be irritating, like chilies?
Yes.
Do they?
Depends on the person. So for some people, if your stomach is a little sensitive, if you've got a good bit of reflux and stuff like that, the chilies will aggravate it. And for a lot of people, even if you eat quite hot, spicy curry, the inside of your small bowel might not be as fond of it. So you might get a bit of a runny tummy from it. But you, like anything, you can build up tolerance. The one thing we do sometimes see, if people suddenly start eating a huge amount of chili, they can develop an allergy to it. But it's quite rare, but it does happen.
I have acid reflux and can never absolutely be sure what flares it or causes heartburn beyond the obvious, alcohol, etc.
Well, if you get a lot of heartburn, you have to go to your GP, because a lot of people with heartburn have a bug called Helicobacter pylori or H. pylori, which gives you really severe reflux and heartburn. And left untreated, it does cause a lot. It's what would cause ulcers and even stomach cancer.
Wasn't that the great breakthrough when they discovered
absolutely.
That you could actually treat the bacterium and Bob's your uncle, no ulcer.
So go and get checked with your doctor, because if you have that and you've never had a check with your doctor, really important to do it. A lot of people have what's called a hiatus hernia, which is where the opening at the top of the stomach is too big, so the acid just keeps refluxing back up. Forget about foods for it. How you actually manage that is, one, you'll probably be on antacid medication with your doctor, but two, stop clearing your plate when you eat your dinner. Stop stuffing your stomach full. So finish at about 80% full.
Okay, and that can give rise to all sorts of things. Overloading. I mean, people wonder, am I sitting on the toilet? Overloaded.
Just kind of slow it down a little bit for the reflux. It does help.
Should large food companies be required to have a gluten-free option on their menu, especially places like, say, Dublin Airport, where people don't have the option to go to other places?
Well, can I say, at the Celiac Society, we're actually linking in with a lot of companies around the country, including airports, to actually manage this. I don't think making it legally is going to work with it. But there is a huge appetite for a lot of companies in Ireland to recognise that we have, you know, nearly 2% of the population.
And then you've
celiac.
Got to trust that the menu is delivering what it says.
Yeah, and that's the other part.
Another one. Diarrhea if I eat fatty food, mostly animal fats. Is that normal?
Can do. I'd be going into your GP with that and just finding out what's going on. There might be a little bit of fat malabsorption there, and maybe then seeing your registered dietitian.
Another one. Why can't I tolerate wheat and other grains, but I can eat sourdough bread?
So that's probably a fructan sensitivity again, because when you make white wheat with sourdough, it reduces the fructans in the sourdough bread. So some people do find that a little bit better.
Another one. Suddenly developed an intolerance to egg in my late 20s. Took me ages to figure out what was making me feel sick. I'm disgusted that I can't eat eggs now because I love them.
Oh, I know. It happens. Sometimes these things can just turn up, and they can be temporary. So even with the FODMAPs, sometimes people can go back on them, actually, once things settle down.
Interesting one here. Regarding food intolerance, my 9-year-old seems to have a sensitivity to orange. Since she was tiny, she'd complain of tummy pain occasionally. And since she's older, we've narrowed it down to any kind of orange at all, including well-known brands, fizzy and otherwise. It's discomfort rather than crippling. But does your specialist advise avoiding it or trying to desensitize her?
She's unlikely to desensitize. So if you've identified that particular food, and I always go, the human body is weird and wonderful. And if that is causing her problems, she's missing nothing by not having it. Do you know what I mean? If she spent her whole life not having orange, she'd cope. She's unlikely to build a tolerance to it with that.
All right. Sarah Keogh, dietitian, founder of Eat Well. Sarah, thank you very much for that.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Today we have two very special guests on our program, introducing Len and Lime.
Hello.
For Starry Lemon Lime Soda.
Thanks for having us.
What is Starry Lemon Lime Soda?
It's a crisp, clear burst of lemon lime flavor, and it's caffeine free.
Between us, one of you must be a little more important to Starry than the other. Who is it?
We're both important.
So we could just as easily be Starry Lime Lemon Soda.
No, that doesn't sound right.
Ooh, I like it.
So you saying hip-hop could be hop-hip?
Works for me.
Starry Lemon Lime Soda. Starry hits different.